All right. It's only been about 14 months since we've done this Team Rhino Outdoors Musky Fishing Podcast. Let's just call this Musky Gear Monday or something like that. Hoping to fire up this podcast at least throughout the course of fishing season. I want to do it on a regular basis. I'm hoping it'll be a weekly thing, but we'll see. If you're following us, you many people know podcast wise that we have the Backlash podcast. I do that with Brad Hoppe from Musky Mayhem Tackle. That one is as consistent as it comes. We do that every single week, every Wednesday at 5 a.m. We have a new episode. So go check out that one. And then hopefully this one here will be consistent, like I said, at least now through the fishing season. And primarily on this podcast, I'm just talking gear. And we used to just talk to, you know, manufacturers, people that were making the baits. And I think we're going to expand that to guides, just talk about what they're using on the water, what they're catching, you know, that kind of stuff. And we'll try to get some stories in there as well. Short form, you know, if you're looking for long form podcasts, there's plenty of those out there. Our Backlash podcast, that'd be like medium. And then this one's going to be short. We're going to try to keep these episodes under half an hour, just kind of quick hitters so you guys can, you know, find out what's going on, learn about some new baits that you may not be familiar with and how they may apply to your fishing. So with that being said, I'm going to talk this week to my co-host from Backlash Podcast about the Grenade. That is a bait that is not new, but they have a new version this year. It's a bigger one, the Monster Grenade. And we'll talk to Brad about, you know, the who, what, where, when, how, and why that you're going to want to use that one. So that's something that you'd want to check out. I failed to mention, though, if you like this podcast, make sure you hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're on. That way it gets downloaded to your phone and you don't have to go searching it out every week or see if we have a new episode. Like I said, hopefully it'll be consistent. But if you hit the subscribe button, it definitely will help me get this podcast out to you. And me being, I'm Jeff, Team Rhino Outdoors. The company that I own within the musky industry is Team Rhino Outdoors. You can find us at teamrhinooutdoors.com. And we are primarily known for custom gear. Our slogan would have been, you know, something about, you know, see us for the best custom colors in the market. But nowadays we've expanded to many other things, rods, reels, nets, that kind of stuff. So if you're looking for, you know, most of your one-stop fishing shop, we have you covered in a lot of ways. Obviously, you could point out some holes that we still have, and we work now to fill those holes. Moving on, we are going to be, hopefully you'll hear this episode right before the Minnesota Musky Expo. This will be out on a Monday, and so it'll be, you know, a few days down the road. You're going to want to check it out. The Minnesota Musky Expo, that'd be March 8th, 9th, and 10th. We're in the Warner Coliseum at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. So check us out there. We'll have some cool gear there. 50 feet of the best gear that you're looking for. If you want some, you know, if you want to save a little bit of money on a net for shipping and things like that, we should have some clams, some frables, and some RS nets. That's just a few of the things we'll feature there at the show. Tons of gear, tons of TRO lettered clothing, and hopefully we see many smiling faces in the Minnesota show. Then a week after, we're going to be at the Wisconsin Musky Expo. That is in Rothschild or Wausau. And that is at, I believe, the Central Wisconsin Convention Center. And that one is March 15th, 16th, and 17th. So you can find us there. That's what we have coming up. Hopefully, if I'm good, I'm working on another guest. Hopefully, I'll have another guest out before we get to the Wausau show. So I'm hopeful that in the next handful of days, I can get a guest together. And then we'll get rolling on that, and we'll have another guest. I'll have another podcast out. Like I said, just talking gear on these podcasts, short form. And this week, we're going to talk to Brad Hoppe with Musky Mayhem Tackle, and we're going to talk about the Grenade. Enough chit-chat. Let's dial up that conversation. All right, my guest this week is Brad Hoppe. Many of you know Brad is my co-host on Backlash Podcast. And this week on this podcast, since all we do is talk gear, we're not talking necessarily about fishing spots and lakes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that may come in time to time on where these things get used, but we're literally just talking about fishing lures to help you get the job done for this upcoming season. Brad, we have talked to you on this podcast, but this podcast has been very inconsistent, like terribly inconsistent. And I think we talked to Carrie in like episode 3, and then somewhere along the line we did another one. So it's been, I don't know, probably 2 years since I've had you on the solo podcast. How does it feel to be on the other end of answering questions? Is it better or worse?
Well, remarkably enough, I get invited on a few other podcasts throughout the year as well. So it's been a while since we've done this one. I think you said it's already a year since you put one out, but I've been on a few other podcasts, so I guess I'm getting almost accustomed to it.
That's good. I actually don't mind being on the other end of the microphone, having people ask me questions about it. It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun to be on a podcast and, you know, you're talking about something that we're both passionate about. So it's cool.
All right. Well, let's talk about the grenade. We've talked, if people followed us on Backlash Podcast, and then there's seven people that have. So those seven listeners are already familiar with it. But like for people that aren't familiar with it, let's go down it, because we've sold a bunch. It's a good bait, but I still think there's room for improvement on that front, Brad. You know, I think it's still underutilized, you know, as there are, you guys have put out a bunch of new products lately, and I think there's many of them that are underutilized. But let's talk about the grenade. When did you come up with the idea? Because I don't think it was something that, you know, the original grenade came out, geez, Brad, when was that, 2021 maybe?
It was 21 or 22, I believe.
Okay, and then last year was the mini grenade, and then this year it's the monster grenade, and we'll talk about all three of those sizes. But like, how long has this idea been in the works?
Well, remarkably enough, Carrie and I were talking about that earlier today. So probably in 05, 07, somewhere in there, I started fishing with Larry Dahlberg, Hunt for Big Fish, and did some TV programs with him. And we were fishing muskies, of course. But Larry showed up, it was either 07 or 08, with a heavy head, kind of similar to the lead head that we have, that had like antennas sticking off of it. And there was blades off the top of those antennas, and we caught fish on it. And I was like kind of dumbfounded. And so not dumbfounded that they ate it, but I was dumbfounded in the way they ate it. So we would have some following fish, kind of negative, neutral type fish coming into the boat. And what he was doing was something that was very unique. And I've used this and utilized it now since this time frame. He was free spooling that bait to go downward after that fish faded in the figure eight. And what would happen is he'd count it down, say 3, 7, whatever it might be. And he'd click the reel. And as soon as he started coming back upward, that fish would eat it. And I went, wow, that is really remarkable. So not really utilizing it as a jigging bait, but basically getting that fish to reenact with that bait after it's faded away from the figure eight by just literally dropping it down in the water column. As soon as he hit his reel, that fish would eat it. Not every time, but that really made me think about something there. So the original design, like I said, had the antennas with two antennas with blades coming off of that. And that was back in 07, 08. And then I don't know, probably 5, 6 years ago, I started recreating it, basically giving it the lead head. And I wanted to have tail blades on there. And the reason I wanted tail blades on there, plain and simple, was we had messed around with the Moon series, the DS4, the JR4, and the JR3. There is something special when it comes to tail bladed baits. And you could look at some of the different jigging baits that are out there. They have a little blade on the back end of that jigging bait. I think Brad Rue, you know, he's had some attachments. The, what was the dog called with the blade on it? The Hilo dog?
Heli dog, yeah.
Or heli dog, yep. And, you know, blades are definitely a good attractant, right? But amazingly enough, there is something special when it comes to tail bladed baits. It's just, I don't know if it, you know, the fish thinks that it's a little tail kicking back there or what that is, but they definitely get attracted to that. And that's kind of how this all arrived. And honestly, I can't tell you. I mean, it was 5, 6 years ago that I started playing with that original concept, tore the antennas off, and started working on this particular bait. And I know there's some people out there that say it's a knockoff of some sort. If I knocked off anything, it was basically Larry Dahlberg's antenna-headed bait. That's where it started.
That's interesting. It's kind of funny, though. Sometimes, like, what's old is new. Is that, I mean, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at a lot of the different baits that have come out in the last 10 years, I have some old collecting lure books, right? And if you look at these collector's lure books, you can find tons of different things that we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years. Like you said, what is old becomes new, right? And there's so many different baits that have been manufactured or built over a period of the last 100 years. And a lot of them were really good ideas and solutions, but somehow they got forgotten about. So they get revived in a different manner.
Yeah. All right. So people look at this bait, Brad, and they kind of think to themselves, like, where am I going to use this bait? Is this something you're only using in open water, or do you ever use it over shallow weeds? Like, what's the application for this thing? And then let's talk about what you use to throw with, because like the mini is not too bad. The grenade's a little bit bigger, but that monster, that's something a whole new animal. But from what I understand, Brad, they still only use the same head as well.
That is correct. We're using the one style head. And to be honest with you, I don't remember what the ounces are on that particular head. I know the weights of each of the different sizes. I can share that. But the uniqueness to this is because it's forward weighted. I see the application when I first designed it. I fish a lot of hard breaks. And so my thought process was, I'm going to cast up to say 6-8 feet. And as I retrieve my cast at a moderate speed, it's going to start slowly falling down that break line. And so you're kind of covering that whole structure with one cast versus this guy's got to throw this kind of bait. This guy's going to do this with this bait. You can do that with this particular bait. The grenade is just, that's where I thought it would shine the most. Remarkably enough, it has shined more after dark, which I never considered it to be a night bait. But man, the last couple seasons, and if you've watched Mayhem's 10,000 Cast, we're using it after dark a lot. And again, I think it's that tail blades, you know, and that's the uniqueness to that. But the other thing that I never really truly factored into that, you know, for uses was it's relatively weedless. And if you are burning that bait in say 2-4 feet of solid weeds, it's relatively weedless. I don't know if that big head on there just kind of wedges its way through and keeps the hooks clean. The other beautiful part is because those blades are on a swivel on the rear end, if the blade dies, they instantaneously start right back up. So you can use it in those manners as well. On top of it, we started using it in a trolling fashion 2 years ago and remarkably have had a ton of success with that as well. I know we got a couple fish this year on Mayhem's 10,000 Cast trolling it, one on St. Clair and then one in locally here by my neck of the woods. And I've caught a ton of other fish when we're not filming as well. So it's kind of bizarre. I had a guide down in the Twin Cities reach out to me. He said, "Hey, can you troll this?" And I said, "Absolutely." He called me that night and he goes, "Well, we got three on it." And he was trolling and he was not weighting it down any more than what it is, just as the way the bait is made. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll put an 8-ounce or a 4-ounce ball on my 3 or 4 foot leader just to get that bait down there just a little bit, because blades have a tendency of lifting when you're trolling them at a higher speed.
Oh, let's get back to the trolling thing in a minute, but let's talk about casting this thing on, say, a weed edge. What's your cast like? I mean, what's the retrieve like? Do you start retrieving it as soon as it hits the water? Are you ripping it like a bulldog? Are you straight retrieving it? What's the standard cast?
I basically do a steady retrieve. And, you know, when I originally said that I wanted to make this bait so that we could stay down relatively deep in the deep or on a hard break like that, I'm going to retrieve it moderately, kind of a slow almost. And the reason I'm doing that is because it's falling as I'm retrieving, right? The uniqueness to having that forward heavy lead head on the front, it really lets the bait stay level in the water column, if that makes sense. As you're retrieving it, it's level where a lot of other bucktails are tail weighted. You'll see them, it looks like they're doing a wheelie in the water, right? So I think guys like that part of it. The beauty of it is that all three sizes, the mini, the regular grenade, and the monster grenade, all fall at the same rate. So if I want to be in a certain water column, say I know that the bait fish are sitting at 10 feet, I'm going to simply cast that bait out. I'm going to count the 10, and on a moderate retrieve, it's going to stay right at that 10-foot zone. So that empowers you to actually put the bait where you want it in the water column.
All right, so you talked about being a night bait. What's the standard practice there? Do you let it fall as much in the night, or are you keeping it up? What's the practice?
Well, again, it's going to be correlated with the structure, right? And where I'm utilizing it the most is exactly where I thought this bait was going to shine, and that's on the harder breaks. So If those fish are a little bit deeper in the water column, I'm going to simply cast it up on top of the break, and I just engage immediately. I'm not counting anything down. I'm not trying to get any more depth out of it, but I'm going to retrieve at a slow, slow pace. When you're retrieving at a slow pace, it's still got a slight fall. For those guys out there that have live scope, you will be able to kind of get an idea immediately on where that bait is at whatever speed you're actually cranking it in at. So it's got a slight fall. It empowers you on those hard breaks just to keep it more in the strike zone.
Yeah, very cool. So let's, you know, one thing we only kind of touched on, Brad, is like mini, regular grenade, and monster grenade. For anglers that are interested, what's the difference between all three of them?
The biggest difference is length. I mean, that's the most noticeable, right? So you pick up a mini, you're going to notice it's 10 and a half inches long. It's got two number seven blades on the tail end. It has two 4-aught hooks. It's two skirts. And it weighs at 4.5 ounce. And this is the remarkable part, right? So I said all three of them have a fall rate of 1 foot per second. So the grenade is a 13-inch bait. So it's not a huge difference in size, but there's three skirts on it. There's a 7-aught and a 4-aught hook on it. And that's utilizing two number nine blades. And the weight is actually 5 ounces. The crazy part about this is that fall rate stays the same, and it's based upon the blades, in my opinion. You know, the blades, as you get to a bigger blade, they drag more in the water. And so that's going to keep that fall rate the same. The monster is 5 skirts with 2 7-aught hooks, and it's 17 inches long, and it has two number 10 blades on it. I also added a 3/4 ounce weight on the tail, and the reason I did that is for casting. When you have a forward heavy bait, a lot of times when you're casting, it's going to foul cast because it's like throwing a big chunk of rubber, like a bulldog or a Medusa. There's a chance for fouled casts, right? Well, I didn't want that to happen with the 17-inch monster grenade. So I put a 3/4 ounce weight in the tail, which kind of lays that bait out. And one of the things that I should mention is right before that bait's going to hit the water, just put your thumb on the spool and that bait will lay itself completely straight out. So definitely a factor or a key to getting those baits to lay out nice and pretty for you and not have any of those foul casts.
This might not be an easy question, but if you're going to reach for a grenade, what size are you reaching for the most often, Brad?
Generally, the regular grenade. It's so funny to me. I know we were filming this last year, and I'm using the regular grenade, and I'm catching smaller fish. And another gentleman that was in a boat, Gavin Falk, he was using the mini, and he was catching the big fish. So I think there's a time and a place, right? And I think part of that was he was in the front of the boat. I was in the middle. So he was getting first crack at most of the fish, that's for sure. But I like big baits. And, you know, the monster grenade was kind of, I don't know how that really, I mean, I know how it came about. And we were going to film. And I'm thinking, okay, we got to fulfill our commitment to Team Rhino Outdoors, right? I mean, you're a sponsor. And we're very proud of that. And I wanted to make sure that we could fulfill catches on a big bait show. The whole show was dedicated to fishing big baits. Turns out, I probably wouldn't have had to have made it. The uniqueness to that is Chase ended up catching one on a Team Rhino Outdoors 14-inch Jake. So it turned out we probably didn't need it, but I put this thing together and we started fishing it. And the first evening I caught 2 fish on it. So right there, I went, all right, there is a purpose for this. And it's just a bigger, complete bait, you know, I love big bait. So the other side to it, too, is I think that monster is really going to shine when it comes to, you know, your late fall trolling or even your open water trolling in the spring.
It is a mammoth bait, that monster grenade. Even when I got them, Brad, I was like, holy man, because the grenade's a decent sized bait, not really what I would consider to be large. Just like, I mean, if you're a mag dog thrower, it's probably profiles even smaller than that, I would imagine. But that monster grenade, she's a big one. There's no doubt about that. We call that one the Minnesota grenade, probably, huh?
That's probably a better name for it. Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, us Minnesotans love big baits, and our fish do too. So for good reason, right? We're throwing a lot of bigger baits than a lot of the other states across the country.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, Gavin's a Wisconsin guy, so he's throwing the mini one. I could see that being the Wisconsin grenade.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, I think we kind of missed the boat the first year with just the regular grenade. there's a lot of states out there that don't want a bait that big, right? So ultimately, I mean, it only made sense to make that mini right after that. So that's when we came out with that the second year.
I'm still holding out hope for the micro. When's that coming?
Well, remarkably enough, we've played with that. And I've got some buddies that fish bass tournaments and this and that. So they started asking if we could make something smaller. And then we've done it. I do have a smaller mold for the head. I'll be honest, we pour all those lead heads ourselves. It's kind of a pain in the butt. It's very time consuming, but I do think it's worth it. And at some point, I don't know. You think we'll do it? I'm not 100% sure, but there is a use for it. I know, like I said, my buddy that fishes these bass tournaments, he was crushing some bass with it. So I know he's caught them on the mini grenade as well, but generally speaking, I think that's more of a musky pike size.
It's funny because that smaller size, there's a market for it outside of just, you know, bass fishing. It's there's definitely a market for it musky wise too. We have a few different bait companies that offer up some smaller sizes like that, and then they sell really pretty well, especially, you know, that Ohio market. They're definitely into that small bait, you know, presentation. I know you fished out there, and I'm assuming they'll eat big baits as well, but it seems like the majority is going to that smaller size.
Yeah, I won't argue any of that with you, Jeff. And you know, I think a smaller version of the mini would probably really shine when you're fishing in that 2 to 4 foot of water, like say that first cold front of the year, end of August, beginning of September, when you're burning baits. These don't hurt when you're retrieving them, right? I mean, it really doesn't feel like there's anything on there. I think a lot of people are scared of the big lead head, and they're thinking, man, this thing's so heavy, and it's going to pull really hard. Look at the blades on it. But the way that those blades are utilized with the swivel, they really retrieve super easily. So it's kind of a painless bait. It's easy to cast, and it's easy to retrieve.
All right, Brad, we got a couple questions, and I want to wrap up here before I let you go, because we're trying to keep these a little bit shorter form. Let's talk about the trolling. I've never trolled a grenade. If I'm going to go out and troll it, what are you going to tell me to do to get this thing to catch muskies?
Well, the uniqueness to this whole thing, Jeff, I mean, it's kind of dependent upon what you're trolling, right? So if you're trolling break lines, you don't necessarily need to put another weight, an additional weight to that bait. Generally speaking, if I'm in the open water or the deeper breaks or where I'm not worrying about weeds or whatever, I'm kind of probably put a 4 to 8 ounce lead on there, like I had talked about. And where I'm putting that is where you tie the line to the leader. So you can use a 3 foot trolling leader or a 4 foot trolling leader. You're going to clip that weight right up on that eye of where you tied your line. And what that does is it just keeps the bait down in the water column a little bit. And I'm trying to think. My line counters were somewhere around 37 feet of line out, and I believe it was down like 10 foot, 8 to 10 foot. So, and that's going about 3.5, 3.2 to 3.4 miles per hour. So I like that depth when it comes to trolling. I mean, most of my crankbaits are running that 8 to 10, maybe 12 foot in some circumstances later in the fall when the water's really cold, but that's what I'm going to do. Now, the particular guy that I was talking about in the Twin Cities, when he was fishing with the grenades and trolling, he did not utilize a weight in front of it. He was keeping his bait, say, 2 feet down at about three miles an hour, 3.2, he said, and scored three fish the first day he tried it. So I think the median of the lake is also a factor in this, Jeff, and it's more so on where the bait fish are located, what kind of structures you're actually trolling. So you don't need to utilize that weight if you want it higher in the water column. And it's another way of running a bait on a down rod that's going to be a little bit higher in the water column without a weight.
Very cool. Something that I should definitely give a shot to. You know, I would imagine, Brad, in this case, it's certainly a presentation that a lot of muskies aren't going to see trolled.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was pretty funny. You know, Chase and I went out and started filming with Jason Quintano on St. Clair, and they're using the big boat, and he's like, man, Brad, he goes, the grenade has been so on fire. And he's like, I'm not telling anybody because we got our tournaments coming up and I'm going to be the only one trolling it. And I don't know. I should probably reach out to him and ask him how many 50-inch fish he caught on it this year, or this past year. Interestingly enough, I mean, I was already trolling it myself. And I think a lot of people, they don't look at blade baits as being a great trolling option. And I think that's what makes it shine. You know, the beauty of this design is because of that swivel and the way the blades are attached to the swivel, you don't have that premature wear out problems that you do like on a lot of other blade baits. So it's a cool way to do some different presentation that nobody else is really doing at this point.
All right, last question I have for you, Brad, unless you got something else you want to talk about. What's the main reason why somebody needs to have this one in their tackle box?
The main reason is, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, right? I mean, if you've watched our TV show or you've talked to some of the individuals that are actually utilizing it, it just plain catches fish. And it allows you to fish in different locations than most blade baits go. So having the ability to count down a blade bait in this fashion or form, it's putting a bait with blades where no other blade baits really go. So that's the bottom line with that. You know, you had asked another question as well, Jeff, and that was how I'm working it. I'm doing a steady retrieve. Now, there are guys out there that are yo-yoing it back to the boat, same as you would work a rubber bait or potentially even like a jerk bait. They're doing that. I will say that there's nothing wrong with that. I know guys are utilizing that and catching fish that way. But generally speaking, I'm just going to do that steady retrieve, keep them blades engaged. And if they bump into weeds or bait fish, they just jump right back into gear. So it works out good that way as well.
Talking about your retrieve, it made me think of another thing. Like, what kind of rod are you throwing on this thing? Are you using extra heavy? What's the setup?
Surprisingly enough, the Blademaster 2 is probably the go-to rod. The last 2 years, Chase and I have really been working on some rods for St. Croix. And I know you at Team Rhino Outdoors, you sell some of those St. Croix. So hopefully the rods that we've been working on prototyping will be in your shop at 1.2. But the two rods that Chase and I really elevated to on the TV show, say 3 years ago, was the Blademaster 2 as well as the Blue Ox. And both are great options. The Blue Ox is probably more recommended with the Monster grenade, but the Blademaster 2 can handle all three of those very, very simply.
Yeah, that Blademaster 2, I got to play with that a little bit last season. It's a pretty good all-around rod. I mean, if you're going to push the limits, like you said, with, you know, big rubber and stuff like that, maybe not so much, but it's a great rod for a lot of different sized blades. It's a 9'6" rod, telescopic, so you can fit it in rod lockers if that's a concern for you. Definitely a very cool rod for people to check out this season.
Absolutely, Jeff. I can't argue with that at all, because if you were going to only be able to afford one rod, I would recommend the Blademaster 2. I mean, it is truly remarkable. The beauty of that grasp handle design, too, is something that's very incredible. It blows my mind. I mean, we're kind of going off topic here, but it blows my mind when I get people in the boat, they're like, I'm not interested in using that. When they first see the grasp, they want nothing to do with it. I tell them, just fish with it for 10, 15 minutes. Within that first 10 to 15, 20 minutes, they look back at me and they go, now I got to buy one of these. And it changes your life in comfort and everything else. And when you're throwing big, big baits like that, you definitely want to have something that's comfortable to work with. And it puts your wrist in line with the rod. And all I can say is comfort is important, especially as many hours as us musky anglers are putting on the water.
All right, Brad, I want to thank you for your time talking about the grenade series from Musky Mayhem Tackle. If you're looking for grenades, you can obviously go to teamrhinooutdoors.com, and we have a full line of grenades there. You can go to muskymayhemtackle.com, and you can find grenades there. And also, you can see us this weekend at the Minnesota Musky Expo. We will be there, and I will have some grenades in my booth. Brad will definitely have a bunch of grenades in his booth. So if you want, swing on out, see us in Minnesota this coming weekend. It's the Minnesota Musky Expo, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. Looking forward to that expo. Again, Brad, I want to thank you for coming out and taking time out of your schedule. I want to thank our listeners for, you know, dialing up this podcast. I know it's been pretty inconsistent. Hopefully we're a lot more consistent. I'm going to shoot for a Monday release. We'll call it like Musky Gear Monday. So that's kind of what we're looking at moving forward. But again, thank you all. We'll catch everybody again with another episode.